7th at Nasdaq MarketSite on this Friday afternoon. The guys here getting ready behind me while they're doing that. Here's what's coming up on the show.
Shares of biotech stocks have been doing something very funky ahead of next week's earnings. We'll tell you what that is and how you can profit. Plus, here's what some traders are betting could happen to Tesla shares next week. And if they're right, we have a way to triple your money. And one Dow stock has been on fire, but there's something in the charts that suggests a run might be done. We'll tell you what that is. The action begins right now.
Let's get right to it, because we are heading into the busiest week for earnings, with mega cap stocks like Alphabet, Apple, and Amazon all set to report. So what should traders expect? What will it mean for the rally? Let's get in the money right now. Dan, what do you say?
Well, listen, I mean, I think Microsoft kind of set the stage for some things that we're going to see over the next couple of weeks. Fast growth businesses like public cloud businesses are going to continue to do well. They're going to continue to grow fast. But legacy businesses, and we saw this from Microsoft and from Intel, continue to do poorly. And then the other really important point is that enterprise spending, businesses, is not particularly robust right now. So I think that, you know, and I think I said this last week in the program, I think the stuff that's been growing, the Facebooks, the, you know, the Amazon, the stuff that I can't get my arms around, and I can't tell you that you should be long these things, they'll probably continue to work until they don't.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon, basically, I think the story is the narrative continuing, and I don't have any reason to think that it isn't necessarily. They don't necessarily have to have, like, the blockbuster earnings numbers. We've seen that time and time again, as long as people believe that they're long-term, that Bezos' vision remains on track there. You know, Apple also, I think people were surprised. They didn't think that the phone would do as well as it has done. I think, you know, earnings, maybe what comes on the call probably more than the hard number itself, is really going to be what's most revealing there.
I mean, this is, and in a way, it's not just specific to these names, but it's about the market. What we know is that the five biggest tech names are equal to the value of the bottom 250 stocks in the S&P. Right. And if there's any trouble in paradise, that's not going to be good for the market. So We know that Microsoft has come out, and that's been good, but we've got big earnings coming, and they'll need to be good, because if you get the opposite kind of reaction, instead of a gap up, a gap down, it's not going to be.
And, of course, this comes on the heels of a stellar third-quarter performance for technology, so they really have to deliver in order to justify that run. Carter, I know you've worked up some charts.
I do, so I have some. Let's go look. The first is a group chart, so just those names that I mentioned. This is a chart of the last 5 years of the top five largest tech stocks in the market. So, of course, that would be Apple, followed by Google, then Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook. And it is a near-perfect trend. In fact, you could draw a trend line, and it's bounced off the line, off the line, off the line. But at this point, usually at some point, you get some sort of check back. I mean, and this is with Microsoft's performance in it today. So I'm just going to make the bet that this is due for your next check back. Again, a group chart of the top five stocks in the S&P tech. All right, now here's that same group, this group, juxtaposed against the S&P. And that's something that also is a little bit of an issue. S&P has made no progress for essentially 2 years, which means if there's any stumbling here, what's that going to mean for something that's made no progress in 2 years? Let's keep going. All right, final chart, and this is telling. Relative strength, relative performance is one of the highest rated factors in all quant models. The top panel is the QQQ, of which those top big stocks that I mentioned are about a third of the weighting. And the bottom panel is a relative performance to the S&P 500. And so what we know is that the Qs actually got back above their high, made new highs, absolute, but have not made relative highs. Meaning, after all this steepness, yes, they actually are still not making relative highs to the market on a one-year basis. So you have this long-term outperformance, and you have this steep circumstance above trend, only just to get back to even with the market. If there's any trouble in paradise, meaning if, yes, we heard from Microsoft, but if Google were to be bad, or Facebook, or Amazon, you can only expect what would happen.
Uh-oh. Mike, how are you trading it?
Yeah, I think the way you want to do this, or at least the way I want to do it, I mean, it's very hard to try to catch the falling knife, basically bet that stocks are going to rebound after they've been dropping. And I think it's also really hard to call tops. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to do here. There are some things that make it vulnerable. Certainly valuations would do that. But if you sell a call spread on the triple Qs, basically what you're doing is you're betting either that it's going to drop or that it's going to stay round about where it is right now. So all you would really need to see on next week's earnings is a split decision. And the way you can do this is by selling the December 118, 122 call spread. When I was looking at it earlier today, you could sell the December 118 calls for about $2.70, buy the 122s against that for 85 cents. Net-net, you're collecting $1.85, which is very nearly half of the $4 width between these strikes. If it stays right here, you're going to slowly collect some premium. If it drops, you'll collect that premium much more quickly. And even if you do get a quick, rapid bounce, because let's say all the earnings turn out to be spectacular next week, it's not likely going to go all the way to the $4. So I kind of feel like if you're going to take a coin toss, wouldn't you rather take the coin toss that pays you if nothing happens than the one where you have to pay, which is what you have to do if you bought a put spread?
When you think about the biggest members of the QQQ, Dan, which ones concern you next week when it comes to earnings?
Well, I'll tell you, Apple could concern you because it has had this big run. Mike said something about, well, the phone has done so well. We don't know the phone's done so well. I mean, we just don't know that the phone has done so well. We're going to find out next week how well this phone has done, and I think that stock could be vulnerable. I think that stock could be the most vulnerable between all of those names reporting next week. I really think, Mel, I think you said it, if there's a split decision, I think you're probably going to have some split decisions. That's the way the QQQ's been trading at a very tight consolidation. And I think Mike's trade, selling premium for a bet really that there's going to be a continuation of that consolidation, is probably the better trade between now and December, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are the market's very dependent on these names because they have growth, right? And when economic data rolls, which we know is happening globally, there's only two trades. You go for idiosyncratic growth, something that is independent of the economy or the market, or you go for yield. And so these will have to be perfect, just what you're saying. Otherwise, not good.
All right. Well, biotech will also be in focus next week with a number of large names reporting. And options traders see some pretty big moves ahead. Seema Modi is here to give us a preview. Seema.
Melissa, that's right. Some big names in biotech reporting next week, including Biogen, Amgen, and Celgene. Amgen is the first of the three to report with an implied move of over 3% following Wednesday's earnings announcement. Biogen and Celgene both report next Thursday, the options market implying a 3% move in either direction. For Celgene, meanwhile, Biogen is expected to see a 6% move up or down. Together, all three biotech giants have an implied market move of over $10 billion. This as biotech stocks have fallen 10% over the past month, due in part to the political rhetoric around drug pricing. We'll have to see if earnings can change that story, Melissa.
All right. Thank you very much, Seema Modi. So, Dan, how are you trading back?
Well, so that rhetoric is really interesting in a lot of ways. And, you know, I've been kind of saying this over the last couple of weeks that I don't think Hillary Clinton is Elizabeth Warren. And I think there's a lot of really bad news priced into the biotech sector. And so I think the real fear is that the Democrats would win the presidency, they'd win the Senate, and then they'd win the House. And then, you know, the headwinds about pricing, drug pricing, become a very big deal. But I don't think that's all going to happen. So I think that there's a good chance that into year end or maybe into the new year, biotech stocks start to rally. There's two charts I just want to pull up real quickly here. The IBB, that is the NASDAQ biotech ETF. It's trading in a very well-defined range. It's 34% from the 2015 highs. It's down 20% on the year. It's only up 12% from those lows. That's a problem. But I want to look at the XBI. That is the S&P biotech ETF. And look at that one. It looks very different. I think Carter will probably agree with me. It's actually made a very nice move off of the bottom, a series of higher lows and higher highs. But look at that rejection over there at 70 bucks or just below it. And that's really, I think, when the likelihood or has been increasing that the Dems really run the tables here. I think this trade sets up pretty interestingly in the XBI, looking out to January expiration, playing for a bounce into the new year. Today, when the ETF was trading 59.75, and I got to say this, options premiums are very high here. This is not a particularly easy trade right now, but I think you look to January expiration, you look at the January 60.75 call spread that cost about $4, buying one of the January 60 calls for $4.40, selling one of the 75s is kind of a throwaway at 40 cents. Your break even is at 64 bucks. You can make up to $11 between 64 and 75. Listen, people, you got to get the direction right on this one. So it's one of those ones where you have to be convicted that it's not as bad as it looks if the Democrats kind of at least take the White House, maybe take the Senate, and maybe take the House too.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the high options premiums are justified for exactly the reasons you cite. I mean, if you take a look at the fundamentals of some of the biggest constituents of both of these two indices, the names like Gilead and, you know, Biogen, names like this, these look fundamentally very cheap. And the reason they look cheap is because of this overweighing concern that the whole business model is a broken one. And I think this is actually a situation where we are probably going to see a big break one way or the other, and we have an identifiable catalyst.
Would you be willing to make that bet on the direction, though, a break higher or a break lower?
My inclination would be to make it on the higher side, okay? Because these stocks have absolutely been punished severely. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure that if that's what's baked in the cake and everybody gets a surprise, it's going to be the upside.
How are my lines?
Lines are good.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, grade it, you know. It's like a B.
Everyone can draw the lines the way they want, as we know. Just the way people playing around with fundamentals. Should it be 16 times free cash flow or 18? I mean, it's all nuts. So here's the reality. I think this is important. This is just almost like classic Dow theory. This was the greatest performing part of the market, right, for a 3-4 year period, and then it has the wipeout. And I think ultimately there's more upside potential than there's a downside because the individual names have been destroyed. Gilead's been destroyed, Celgene's been destroyed, Allergan's been destroyed, and I think you'd be contrarian here and bet up, yeah?
Does it concern you, though, that this has become a bipartisan issue, drug pricing?
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, you saw the Mylan hearings. It wasn't like it was down party lines, people going after Heather Brash.
I think valuation is a big issue here. I think there's still some pent-up demand for M&A, and I just want to make one really interesting point. When I looked out to January expiration, the at-the-money straddle, the call premium plus the put premium in the XBI was offered at about 15% of the underlying stock price, okay? That's nuts. The S&P between now and the same time period in January 20th, okay, which happens to be inauguration day, that's also why I target it, is only pricing a 5% move in either direction. Three times the potential volatility. If you get the direction right,
well,
you're going to get paid.
One final point. Look, the drug pricing issue it's one that keeps coming and going. Right now we're in an election season, so of course we're going to hear a lot about it. It wouldn't surprise me if we hear a lot less when the election's over.
All right, got a question out there. Send us a tweet to @OptionsAction. And for everything Options Action, check out our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. We've got the hottest, and I mean hottest, options news, videos throughout the week, and exclusive trades. And while you're there, check out our super cool newsletter. What are you waiting for? Go do it. Here's what's coming up next.
That's what some traders are saying could happen to shares of Tesla after earnings next week. But we've got a way to protect yourself. Plus, Caterpillar shares are suddenly falling. But that's great news for one of our traders. We'll explain why when Options Action returns.
We've got a newsletter on the potential AT&T Time Warner deal. Let's get to Seema Modi in the newsroom. Seema.
And Melissa, shares of Time Warner spiking after hours on a Bloomberg headline that AT&T is nearing a deal to buy Time Warner Inc. for about $110 a share. Now, including that debt, that would value Time Warner at $100 billion or so. Keep in mind, earlier CNBC did report that the price tag could be up to $110 a share. Again, we're looking at shares of Time Warner up about 4% in extended trade. Melissa.
All right. Thank you very much, Seema Modi. David Faber actually reported up to 110 earlier today. So what kind of options activity have we seen, if any?
First of all, of course, the brain nailed the number there. Okay. All right, the options volume today, call volume in particular, was five times that of puts. 130,000 calls traded. The three most active strikes were November 100 calls, the November 90 calls, the November 85 calls, all people looking for something somewhere up towards that number.
You know, just a little perspective. When Time Warner acquired AOL, you know what they paid for that company in January 2000? $164 billion. And now they're being acquired for, what, $100? I mean, talk about value destruction, killing money.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Brought to you by Carter Worth. All right, moving on to Tesla, reporting earnings Wednesday after the bell, and the options market is implying more than a 5% move for the stock. The only question is which direction. Mike is over at the Smart Board with today's call to action. Mike.
Sure thing. You know, the implied move, actually, only implying 5%, doesn't really tell you how expensive the options are. If you went out and you bought a December straddle, that thing would cost you about 15% of the stock price, nearly $30. So we're going to take a look at a bearish bet here, a put fly, also known as a put butterfly. When do you want to do a trade like this? Well, number one, when you're bearish on a stock. Number two, when options are expensive, and we just talked about that. And three, when you have identified a specific price target. So let's take a look at the possibilities here. All right, so this is Tesla trading right around $200 when it closed today. And you can see pretty much we're looking at a pattern. I'm going to leave this to Carter to address this in a second because I'm not the technician here. But this looks like a downtrend to me. And the other thing is we have a very big short interest, which basically is going to create some measure of support if the stock does fall. So I'm targeting a price of about 170 right around December. basically as my price target here. The way you're going to play this is you're going to buy the December 190 puts. You're going to spend $9 for those. Then you're going to sell two of the 170s at $3.50 a piece. And then finally, buy a 150 put for $1.20. That whole package is going to cost you $3.20. The maximum profits of $16.80 is going to be found if it hits that $170 price target. Around $3, only about 1.5% of the stock price. That's the reason we're doing this. The other thing is, why are we buying this put that's so far out of the money? Well, Tesla, if it does start to move, can move a lot. And I don't want to be sitting there if it ends up moving much further to the downside than our trade expects.
What do you make of that level?
Mike, looks like a downtrend to me, too. So, I mean, the stock acts poorly, and the burden of proof is on the bull. The bear just points to the facts. Down, down, down and to the right, not keeping up with the market. Something must be burdening the stock. It's probably something to do with the business or the valuation.
Well, right, and we know what they are. Listen, they already pre-announced their deliveries for Q3, so that takes a little of the mystery. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty decent, 24,500 deliveries, which was up 70% year over year. So that takes a little of the mystery out of the quarter. We know that we want some information about capital raising.
Well, they've already addressed
right.
that.
Well, he's gone back and forth in the last month about that. We don't need it. We do need it. And then the last point is the SolarCity stuff, which is obviously pretty much in flux. The only thing I'll say about the trade structure, I'm a big fan of butterflies. You're kind of threading a needle in a stock like this that has the potential to move. I would maybe just look to move it much closer to the event, because if I get that move to where you're targeting, then I'll look to take it off.
All right, still ahead. The best performing Dow stock of the year is suddenly rolling over. We will tell you what it is and how much worse it could get when options action returns. We've got more details on the possible AT&T Time Warner deal. Seema, what's the latest?
Melissa, Reuters quoting sources as reporting that AT&T and Time Warner have reached an agreement on most merger terms and that they're aiming to announce a deal as early as Sunday. So this discussion seems to be moving very quickly. And according to this report, a deal could be announced as soon as Sunday. Back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Seema Modi. We are showing the quotes in the after-hour session. We should note that AT&T, that's not much volume, but for Time Warner shares, there's a lot of volume behind that 5% move higher. Dan, you're saying that you still don't think the deal is going to go through, though.
It's going to take a very long time, right? So here's the thing. It's going to be a stock deal predominantly here, and the stock is going to trade Time Warner at a discount to the price, whatever the price agreed upon is, and it's probably at least 10%. So if it's a $110 deal, the stock's trading at $94 in the aftermarket. I wouldn't be buying it right here. There's not a whole heck of a lot of upside unless it's in a bidding situation, which it's not likely to be.
Does it still trade at a discount if there's no breakup fee?
Because the regulatory risk, right? Because let's just say the DOJ came and they sued them to break up the deal. The stock's going straight back to where it was.
It's amazing how much it faded today. It hit a high of 94.45, and it just ticked down all day after the initial news. You have to assume they're rushing to get this done because they're going to get it done. I think that's a...
Well, they don't know. I mean, they thought that the
independent regulators, notwithstanding. Meaning, all the chatter was that they wanted to beat someone else who might be sniffing around.
Frequently what happens in situations where you hear that there is a deal announced, you're going to see the price of options decline if it's mostly a cash deal, which, as Dan was pointing out, it's not likely to be the case. So, if you are going to be inclined to try to press and become your own merger arbitrage player, normally the merger arbitrage guys would actually, if you're wondering, do I race out and buy calls?
Yeah.
What the merger arb desk typically do is, if they own the stock, they're actually selling calls typically. They're trying to sell premium up around. So for those of you at home saying, well, I don't want to go out and buy the elevated stock price, call spreads are probably going to be the way that you're going to play that.
And if you're long the stock, you want to stay long it, and you want to give yourself some time, because it's going to take at least 6 months to get any clarity, I would suspect, then you can think about selling upside calls and buying downside puts. So you could collar your stock and kind of define the range in which you would participate to the upside and have protection to the downside.
To Dan's point, if you think that the deal is not going to go through, then therefore there should be a bounce in AT&T stock. Is the safer trade to be effectively long AT&T, playing for a bounce off of a breakup of this deal?
Well, we already are sort of in that trade already, AT&T.
For this
situation, actually, it makes it more compelling, because that's going to be traded at a bigger discount than it was. I mean, our play was in Verizon, but I think that is one play that you could do it. But again, you're not going to get an answer that quickly. So if you're going to make that play, you have to make it try to play out over time.
Well, and not only that, so AT&T is a stock that usually implied volatility. The price of options are probably usually pretty cheap, right? It's got a 5% dividend yield. They're going to tick up a little bit because there's obviously a lot of some risk to what's going on here. If you're long AT&T and you own it for your kids or whatever, you can start selling calls against that to take in a little bit of premium on a regular basis, maybe every couple months. It gives you a little buffer to the downside.
All right. Coming up next, we've got your tweets and the final call from the options pits. All right, let's take some tweets. First one here. For years, when UUP is strong, CAT is the inverse or very weak. UUP is very strong. Continue with this tracking. OA is great. Now you guys have a bearish bet in CAT. No, you guys. Okay.
We do. We do. So CAT around 90 is pulled into 86. I think this should be just the beginning. I want to stick with this one. Presumption is lower prices.
Yeah, I mean, we're in good shape on this trade. We're short the 87.5 calls. Stock went out around 86.5 bucks. So basically, even if the stock just sits here and languishes from now until December expiration, we're going to get paid to sit in this trade.
There's a broader question, though, about the dollar and its impact on, and the dollar has been very strong.
Yeah, listen, it's making a run back to those highs here, no matter what. And there's a lot of people who actually didn't think it was going to happen. And rates actually haven't moved up a whole heck of a lot either when you think about it. So that's going to be a real headwind, I think, to U.S. corporate earnings who have a lot of exposure outside the U.S.
Time for the final call. Last words from the options pits. Carter.
I want to take a contrarian bet on perfection and be short the QQQ.
Mike.
You know, if you're inclined to make a bearish bet in Tesla, I think you want to use put flies to do it.
Dan Nathan.
You know, I like your fly stuff so much that I actually, on Options Action Twitter feed, I also have a call butterfly on XBI. Check it out.
Tease for the Twitter feed. All right. Looks like our time has expired. I'm Melissa Lee. Thanks so much for watching. For more Options Action, check out the website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. Meantime, don't go anywhere. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.